Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the sun and fun capital of the world. Even though it's raining tonight, that's okay. This is the one and only Scary Cast. I'm Dr. John Stamey. So glad to have everybody with us tonight. We have got a bang-up guest, one that is famous in her own right and has had a number of paranormal experiences, and that makes for the perfect guest. First of all, I want to introduce, in order of calling in, first of all, the maestro of professional wrestling from Emerald Isle, North Carolina, Papa Stroh. How are you doing tonight?
Wonderful. Great to be here with you guys.
Glad to have you here. Always are.
Thanks.
And from the murder capital of the world, Harlan, Kentucky, investigator Tony Filosi. How are you doing tonight, Tony?
I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to the show.
Well, boy, wait till you hear some of the stories that Cindy shared with me on her paranormal excursions and everything. This is just wonderful. Anyway, the reason that we have Cindy on here is that she was a guest on a new podcast called Wrestling Tonight, and I got to meet her online during the show last Sunday night, and I said, this girl is cool. I really want her to come on Scary Cast. And she was kind enough. I sent her a message, and she said, sure, that would be great. And Cindy, first of all, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing great. It's also raining here in Louisville, Kentucky, but, you know, hanging in there. Looking forward to the fall weather. Yay, it's ghost season.
That's exactly right. Now, before we get going into a little bit about your life story, the reason I met you was because of the North American Wrestling Association, the NAWA. Can you tell us a little bit about your new function with that great wrestling organization?
Yes. I will be helping with the talent, with the women's talent behind the scenes. I will be also generally organizing a lot of the talent, working very closely with Tony. So pretty much, you know, the operations person that I am, I will talent operation, I will be actually working with everyone and everything that I can do. So basically it's going to be a show of old school wrestling. We're giving the fans back what they wanted. And I'm very excited to be doing this. I have 20 years experience in the wrestling business. I mean, I love it. It's finally going to be nice to, you know, actually put back into the business. And I'm looking forward to all the young talent and keeping it what we're missing today, old school. Kind of all the kayfabe.
That is absolutely wonderful. I think it's going to be a great new movement, excuse me, in professional wrestling.
That's okay.
And it's got its own wrestling association, so that's wonderful. Now, the first thing, and I've sent you a text about this, I'm dying to ask you this question because we didn't cover it last time. We had a lot of the folks from the NAWA on there and everything. And tonight's interview is a little more personal. It's about you because you have accomplished – you have a major, major accomplishment along with many others. You have under your belt the WWF Women's Hardcore World Championship. And first of all, congrats on that. Anybody that wins a world championship in a league like that is to be respected and revered forever. So, number one, congratulations on that accomplishment.
Thank you.
And if you would please tell us just, you know, when did you win it? Who did you wrestle? And give us a thumbnail sketch of the match, because that's something that I think is important for history, so that we have a description of the match from the winner. So take it away, Cindy.
Okay, so it was the hardcore championship. So I was the first woman to win the belt. So basically, everyone knows who the Godfather was. I was on the hoe train. I was one of the Godfather hoes. So what happened was, Godfather was having a feud with D'Lo. I mean, it was kind of 24/7, like anybody could get the hardcore belt. And then he was doing it against Crash Holly when he had Crush Holly was down. D'Lo came in distracted. I actually jumped into the ring and pinned Crush Holly. Got up, won the belt. It was like, yay, we were screaming. I had the belt. And then right after that, Crush Holly schoolboyed me and took the belt back and then ran off. So, I mean, the thing that made history, I was the first woman to get it.
That's
but
great.
Very exciting.
That's...
Yeah, I mean, I'll be in wrestling history forever, so that's cool. You know, you make your mark, and it's always a wonderful thing. Plus, it does tons of
that's
stuff.
That's right.
That was a highlight.
That was a true highlight. Now, Papa Stroh, I know that you have won in your illustrious career. You've won many world championship belts through the NWA and through other organizations. And can you describe how it feels to win a belt? I know you've won a number of them. How does it feel to win that belt?
Well, Cindy can attest to this too. I mean, the belt doesn't make you, you make the championship. And there's certain people in the industry that they win championships to the point where, you know, it helps elevate them, of course, but there comes a point in time where the person who holds the championship actually elevates the championship rather than the championship elevates them, right? So it's all in how you look at it. And winning any championship is a gift. And then as a gift, you cherish that gift and you appreciate the moment. And Cindy can attest to this. Winning any championship, I don't care what kind of championship it is, it's a big honor, it's a big thrill, and it's a pleasure to know that you were bestowed upon, you given that championship to be a representation of the company. So, you know, hats off to Cindy, man.
Well, hats off to you there, Maestro. Yeah, I mean,
thank
it's
you.
Great. I have won a lot of other belts. I won the NWA Junior Heavyweight Championship. I'm woman champs at a league out in North Carolina or South Carolina. I still am. I don't think that was tag team belts we've won at Women's Extreme Wrestling. I mean, so yeah, there's won a lot of different belts. I mean, and like you said, it's the person that makes the belt. You know, it's not the belt making you. And it comes with an honor, and you got to uphold it. So, yeah. I mean, it's always a great feeling to win a belt, right?
Absolutely.
That means you're
that
kind of
well
being a people
Papa
believing
Stroh.
You.
And when they believe in you, you've got a big responsibility, don't you, Papa Stroh?
Well, any time that you're blessed to win a championship, I mean, it's a big honor, and you know, it doesn't make anything any easier because you're in a whole new level from that point on. You're representing the company, and everybody's after you because you're the top dog, basically. So it just steps it up that much more.
It sure does.
But you know, Cindy, as you said, you were the first person to win that belt. It's like Tommy
first
Rich.
Woman.
Tommy Rich was called a
woman.
Transitional champion, but you know what? He was the world heavyweight champion for 12 days. He is in the record books, and he is absolutely loved for the fact that, you know, not only is he Tommy Rich, he's a fun individual, but he was the world heavyweight champion in the same way that David Arquette was. You know what? It wasn't somebody else that won it. It was David Arquette. And there have been a lot of great people have held that belt. They really have. And we're proud to be working in their shadow. So I think it's great. So, Cindy, if you would please just give us an overview of your career from you. And I think that would be a great thing for people to know. How do you describe your career from getting started in wrestling to that high point of winning that belt to whatever? So if you don't mind, please share that with us.
Yeah, I mean, I started out I started out in the Northeast. I mean, I was one of those girls that were lucky to get with a crew of guys that were really respectful and awesome and really showed me the ropes. I hear horror stories all the time, and I'm like, I can honestly say that's not ever happened to me. I was more protected than anything. So I started with a great group of guys. We traveled. I worked for many, many, many companies. There's the Inferno Kid, which will be working with us. He and I at one point decided, you know what, we're going to branch out. And we got all – Cornette had booked us through all these different places down in South. So we went all the way down south, and actually when I was in Georgia, I was scouted by Bruce Pritchard. And at that time, you remember, magazines were very popular. There was no internet. So when you were working independence, you were mostly getting your recognition through the magazine. And I was, like, in a lot of all the magazines. They're like, you know when you're up and coming. And I got scouted by Bruce Pritchard, and then actually I was on my way to go to ECW. That when I got back from the tour, and then Bruce Pritchard was like, okay, so we want you to come to WWF. So I worked with WWF. I went down to Memphis Championship Wrestling. I was there for 3 years. I was up on several things on, WWF. I was on their Super Bowl commercial. I was, up for several spots, and then they put me on the Ho train, and then that's where I kind of won the belt. Then after that, I worked for Women's Extreme Wrestling for 10 years. And, so you kind of come up and I've done all the other indies. I worked OVW. I mean, I've worked everywhere pretty much. So it's been a hell of a career and a hell of a ride, that's for sure.
Well, that's great. Now, do you happen to know our good friend Patricia Summerland, Sunny the California Girl from Glow?
Oh, I love
her. Do you happen to know her?
She's a sweetie. Yes, I do. She's such a sweetheart.
That's great. We're gonna have her on the show. I think in 2 weeks. So we'll let you know if you want to call in or be.
I wrestled a lot of the Glow Girls in California at one point too, and then Hollywood. I know Hollywood too pretty well. We both lived in Nashville, so we'd run in the same circle and stuff too. All wonderful girls, you know. So.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, and actually, I tell you what, we've got Sunny. The California Girl, she's actually going to be on in 2 weeks on Wrestling Tonight. May I invite you to be one of our panelists when she comes on?
Sure. I would love that.
Great. I'll stay in touch with you and let you know. So, yeah, so you can, and that'll be great. I'm sure she'll enjoy hearing you and all that. So that's wonderful. All right. And we have another one of our panelists and co-hosts, Robin McCray. How are you doing tonight, Robin?
I'm good. Sorry I'm late. I had technical difficulties getting online, but it's awfully good to see everybody or hear everybody.
We'll forgive you. Yep. Well, that's great. All right. So now Tony Filosi, investigator from Harlan, Kentucky, the murder capital of the world. Have you got a question you would like to ask tonight?
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to hear about these paranormal experiences. What happened, where they were at?
Yes.
You have opened up the proverbial can of worms. All right, Cindy, start telling. I think everybody on ScaryCast is really going to enjoy what you've got to tell.
I'm a big fan of, like, ghost hunting with my friends, and I'm a big fan of horror. I'm a big fan of I just got the book of Haunted Louisville, and I'm going to make my own little tours, we'll go and we'll just go look and investigate. So I'm reading the book and finding out all the places, which is really cool and interesting. But my friend, she owns Slaughterhouse in Nashville, Tennessee. It's a haunted house. So we had gone there several times when they were building the haunt and everything. And at that, it was an old movie theater, and somebody was murdered there. And they never found the murder. They never found the guy who murdered him. So we would do all these, like, investigations. And I remember the one time we used Spirit Box, we were in the bathroom, which was like a lot of activity. And my wrestling name when I started out was Bobcat. And clear on the clear when I was in the bathroom with it, it said right on the Spirit Box, Bobcat. And we all just looked at each other. We're like, oh crap! Another acknowledging that they knew I was there. I mean, we did several inside there where we heard growling. It was ran by a lot of homeless people. Well, with that on the spirit box, we had gotten the guy's name who was murdered, and we looked it up, and it was the same guy who had gotten murdered. And later that year, by I don't know, whatever, it was like the guy that was who murdered him actually got caught that year, and it was like 20 years at that point since they found the murderer, and the haunted house is going. So that was really neat, and it's still, things happen there all the time. Like, she'll always tell me stuff that's going on there since I don't go as much. But we actually investigated the Waterhouse Hotel in Tennessee. We got some activity there where somebody was on the spirit box helped me. Not as much as the haunted house, but there's some hot spots there. I lived in a house where I lived actually on Thomas Jefferson's, his old plantation. So in Hermitage.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So in the back where I lived is where the soldiers would run the guns. And the woman who lived in the back house there said she would see soldiers running back and forth all the time, like people in the Confederate. The guy that had lived in our house had died there. He was an alcoholic, and he had died in the house that's when we moved in after he died. And my roommate at the time, she was a recovering alcoholic. So things would happen. She would get messed with all the time, but I would be home alone a lot of times, and the lights would click on and off by themselves, like little things like that, I think just to let us know that it was there. But he would give her more activity than he would me, which I think that was kind of a reasoning there somewhere for sure. But yeah, great. I can go on and on. I mean, I had a lot of stuff, but yeah, that's a little bit, some of it. So,
well,
yeah, I love it.
I'm in Harlan County, and that's probably about 4 hours from Louisville.
Yeah.
We have lots and lots of activity in Harlan. So if you like to come here, we have everything from haunted mines to jails to courtrooms to graveyards, to, you know, you name it. We pretty well have it. So if you would like to come down and investigate some, I'm extending you an open invitation.
I would love that. I would really love that. That's right. That's my thing. I love it.
All right. Now, Dr. John, I'm going to jump in. And I'm going to say, Tony,
go ahead,
would you also let the rest of the ScaryCast crew come along with Cindy, and we could do a formal investigation and take some
any time
and take
everybody has an open invitation. Any time that anybody wants to come.
No, Tony, I'm still trying to get there.
Oh, I'd love to have it.
So
everyone.
We should all just plan it. Let's plan a day that we know we come. We'll do it in advance. We'll pick that day and we'll just go.
Yeah.
Well, this is a good time of year to come to Harlan. For some reason, there are certain locations that up till the winter solstice, they're off the hook.
Uh-huh.
And,
really?
Yes. Some of them are more towards summer solstice. I can't explain why, but especially the old courthouse where I work at, the courtroom and the jail usually on up until the winter solstice are really, really crazy.
Well, I'm sure there was a lot of things that happened going on.
A lot of murders.
Yeah. So let me ask you, why do they call it the murder capital of the world? I mean,
it's not really the murder capital. John coined that.
I lived in New York at the bad time, so I thought I lived there.
No. John coined that. There was a lot of violence, mind violence here from the 20s on up into the 40s, and then even after that, you had a lot of murders here. You know.
What were the causes of it? What was all the violence about? Was it a movement?
Union organization.
Okay. All right.
The coal companies were trying to keep the union out, and for about 20 years, it was basically a battlefield. There was the National Guard was called in several times in Harlan, and Florence Reese, I don't know if you've ever heard the song "Which Side Are You On." Florence was a local girl, and that song's about her husband was working with the union, and Sheriff Blair, J.H. Blair, they came looking for him, and she penned the song after they left. And I have a lot of archive things, and I have J.A. Clare's Sheriff's Bond signed by his, Sheriff Clare.
I've been to Hollywood. I've wrestled there already many moons ago, so I'm a little familiar with that area. But, yeah, I knew there was a lot of that going on with the coal mines and stuff. But so what's the situation of it now? What's it like
in there? Coal is gone. I mean, you don't the last strike here was in the 80s, early, mid-80s. Uh-huh. And there wasn't a lot of violence. There was some gunfire and stuff. Nobody was, you know, nobody was actually trying to hit anybody, but there was I was actually in that one. I mean, not to a great extent, but that was like, you know, light, very, very light compared to the old timers, because their favorite thing was to send a message. They would blow someone's porch off with dynamite first time.
Oh my gosh.
The second time they blew the family up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Woo, that's all. Yeah, well, I guess that's how they did things then, huh?
Mm. But, it's pretty calm here now as far as things like that. I do a ghost tour, which this year because of COVID, we're not doing it. But, I can show you a lot of places where people were killed downtown. You had a lot of the sheriff, a lot of law enforcement were involved back in the day with the bootleggers and prostitution and gambling. And there was several police officers that would leave force, and they would be afraid of what they knew, and they would, I mean, just freaking assassinate them on the street. You know, just show you several locations like that.
Well, I'll tell you what, Cindy. Here's what uh-huh. I'll offer. I'll organize this event. We'll go up there, and we'll hang out with Tony, and he will take us to some places. And I'll bring Shane. Shane's the master at the Spirit Box. And then the next day, we will ask Robin, because she is our Bigfoot leader. Robin has a lot of experiences with Bigfoot, and I don't know if you've had any, Cindy, but Robin, if we like on a Saturday do a paranormal tour with Tony, then on Sunday could we go out with you and see if we could find some Bigfoot?
Yeah, we can certainly look for them, see if we can get them out there, and then I can help on the ghost tour because I can talk to the ghost. So
yeah,
well, that's right.
You're psychic, right?
I can put you, Robin.
Are you a psychic? Yeah, pretty much. And I mind speak with absolutely everything. I have contact with the Bigfoots, the Dogmen, the ETs, Dimensionals, Elementals, Lizard Man, pretty much everything out there.
I can take you to a place, Robin, where we've gotten some. I don't have it on audio, but I'm going to go back out this winter and try to catch some on audio. It's called Little Shepherd Trail, and I can take you to some locations there where we've had some interaction.
That would be great.
Vocalizations with Bigfoot, you know. And I found several tracks up there, a lot of tree breaks, twists,
I tell you what,
like
this time of year they love. Pat and I woke up the other day, and in my living room, off my living room, is a very small bathroom, and John was here. He was still upstairs. He hadn't come downstairs yet. And I go into the bathroom off the living room, and there's this gargantuan handprint on my wall. And I said to Pat, crazy.
I saw it, Robin, and then you were taking pictures of it, and then you stepped outside, and I stepped in there and looked, and I thought, oh, my goodness, this is crazy.
It's not even in a place that if you went in to use the restroom that you would lean and put your handprint on. And the thing of it is they have a very oily base to their skin, and it's impossible. I mean, you try to get it off, and you can get some of it off, but it sticks. like I have handprints all over my car, and I've taken pictures of them. And I'll go to the car wash, and the car wash can't get it off. It's this oily base goo that they have on their skin. And so you can always tell if it's them or if it's somebody else, because if you go to try to wash it off and you have to fight with it to get it off, you're guaranteed where it came from. Because it's just awful. But, you know, we've gotten handprints all over the place. One day we had a decorative pillow that was in on the bedroom, and it had a black backing to it, and the pillow was turned facing the wall. I had just cleaned the whole bedroom, and my husband got home from work. He walked in there, and he said, "What's with the gargantuan handprint on the pillow?" And I said, "What are you talking about? I cleaned the whole bedroom from top to bottom. There's no handprint." He says, "Go in the bedroom." I go in there, and there's this massive handprint, and the thumb, where the thumb is opposed to your first finger, the gap between the two was so wide, it was definitely not one of ours. And I said, "Well, you know what was crazy is I cleaned that whole room, went out in the kitchen, I came back, and there's a sitting room in front of our bedroom. And there was this pile of, like, this white powdery substance. I have no idea where it came from. And it looked like somebody had ran fingers through it and swirled it all around on the floor. And I'm like, you know what? I have enough to clean up around here without cleaning up after more." And I went in to go get a dustpan, and I came back, and somebody had taken it and pushed it all around trying to make it go away.
Oh, funny.
I mean, it was absolutely crazy.
So I must have heard what you said. They don't want to clean it up. They're helping out.
Apparently. But we have ghosts here. John's seen him here, too. I mean, we've got an older man. We've got a young girl that's here. Pardon?
Where do you live out of?
Orangeburg, South Carolina.
Okay. South Carolina, okay. Yeah, there's a lot of haunted stuff out there, too, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep. We've got all kinds of cryptids out here. I have pictures of portals opening in my front yard. I have pictures of beams of light coming from crafts above my house directly down on my bedroom.
Was your house built on something? Was your house built on something? Or was it
happens everywhere I live.
Oh, okay, so it's you. You're the
it just kind of follows me, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's been like this since I was 2 and 3.
Yeah, you hear that all the time.
Yeah. Now, this house was built in 2012, I think it was. So it's not a real old house.
Yeah, I live in an army base that was built in
1917. Yeah.
I live at an old army base here, and it was built in 1917, and there's a lot of history here.
Yeah.
So it's kind of
Cindy,
neat, yeah.
What's the name of that army base?
Finn Castle. It was built in Scott Fitzgerald lived here for a year, and that's where he wrote The Great Gatsby.
Oh, wow.
So it's got like, yeah, so yeah, it was really weird because I'm looking at like the same place where I'm like, he could even live where I live, who knows. But yeah, that's where he wrote The Great Gatsby in Louisville. That's why it takes place in Louisville. And it's those mansions that were like not far from where I live on Cherokee Parkway. So that's kind of neat, you know. But it's been, like, I mean, it's been, people have been living here since the 50s. It's kind of like condos. But it's still old. But I love it.
Right. I'll share a story with you that I think most everyone on here knows. I run the South Carolina Lizard Man Festival. Lizard Man seems to like me. Lizard Man is not necessarily a happy boy. But Lizard Man likes me and kind of puts up with me doing it. The last major sightings in South Carolina were in 1988 and 1989, and they were in a town called Bishopville, Lee County, which is about, 45 minutes east of Columbia, the capital. And what is interesting, and Robin is the one that pointed this out, is there have been a couple of very odd murders or deaths associated with that area on the highway. And Robin asked me one time, she said, "Well, John, are there any military installations?" I said, "Well, yeah, because that butts right up against Shaw Air Force Base."
Yeah.
And Shaw Air Force Base has over 1 million acres that is protected by barbed wire. And we all believe that there are instances of Bigfoot. There was a taxidermist who used to have a statue of Bigfoot on the highway between Bishopville and Sumter, which is where Shaw Air Force Base is. And so, and people wondered why one day all of a sudden that thing was gone. And Robin has an idea that there have been some strange experiments, perhaps, that have taken place with the lizard people that might have emanated from Shaw Air Force Base. So, you know, Cindy, when you talk about military bases, there's mm-hmm. there's really some substance to the fact that strange things happen in and around military bases. Now, Robin, will you agree with what I just said, that was our discussion?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I have government contacts that I've spoken with on what they've created. You know, I mean, granted, we have a lot of these cryptids, and it's very suggestive, and the DNA, we don't have proof of alien DNA, okay? The government has mm-hmm. it. They're not going to give it to us. But what we do know is some of the DNA on these cryptids comes back as a hybrid, and on the father's side, it is not known to anything that is on our planet, which leads you to the possibility that it's an ET cross. Well, the government is very fond of taking certain things and creating things, and then they cut them loose. You know, and it's like with the dogmen, a normal regular dogmen is not as dangerous as what people think they are. I work with the ones around here and they're perfectly fine. But then you get the government manipulated ones and they're bred to kill.
Huh.
You know, they're bred for warfare.
Not surprising.
And there's a very solid story that a pack of dogmen joined in with Napoleon at one of his battles and mm-hmm. absolutely turned the tide in the favor of Napoleon. Don't know why they did, but it is documented. It's in a number of historical documents. People don't want to acknowledge them. They think they were crazy, but no, they weren't. That's what happened back in the day.
Well, and the thing is, you get into these debates, and they're still debating it. I mean, it's just amazing. It doesn't matter how much DNA you have. It doesn't matter how. And I've had the DNA from some of my group tested, and it came back Bigfoot. But you can have all this tested, and then you're still going to have the people out there that because they don't have it to test or they don't want to believe it, you know, they shoot it down, and you get all the haters in that. But the truth is there are hundreds of thousands of people that have seen these things. There are hundreds of thousands of people that interact with them. And 9 out of 10 people, my experiences, are going to stay relatively quiet because when you come down to it, we are so protective. I mean, excessively protective of our guys. And I call them my guys because they've been around me forever and a day. I would gladly give my life for them. And they've saved mine on numerous occasions. You know, are they all like that? No. Absolutely not, because like us, there's good and there's bad. But the thing of it is there's so much out there that the people aren't even aware of because they are ET created, they are government created, and they are running loose and they are deadly. And people go out in the woods all the time, and there's no reason not to other than the fact that you have to have that open mind of the fact that we don't know everything that's out there. You know, I mean, it was like 4 or 5 months ago, I had something weird show up in my woods. I have no idea what the hell that thing was. I've never seen anything like it in my life. You know, it definitely wasn't one of the Bigfoot. It wasn't one of the dogmen. It wasn't a lizard man. I can give you a list and a half of what it wasn't. What it was, I have absolutely no clue. But it was there.
Wow.
Robin, it's just one more of these things.
Robin, I'm going to stop you there, and I'm going to say it's 9:34. And it's time for our quick station break, and we would like to thank VOC Nation for having ScaryCast on Friday nights at 11 p.m. Because at Friday nights at 12 p.m., Papa Stro, tell us what goes on in your world.
You don't know? As many times I've been on this podcast, you don't know what my show is?
I know, but it's up to you to tell everybody else. How's that?
No, it's not. It's up to you to remember my show, for God's sake. Oh, my God. Okay, well, here it goes. And take notes.
Yes.
Take notes next time and don't forget.
All right.
This is Friday night at midnight Eastern Standard Time on my official Facebook page, Stro the Maestro. All you can do is add that to Facebook.com. Is the Stro Zone at, once again, midnight Eastern Standard Time. And Friday night's feature, rather, will be Fright Night starring Roddy McDowell. So please tune in. And I have it every Friday night at midnight, John. So write that down in your notes.
I will.
Facebook.
I promise.
Thank
I
you.
We were just giving you your part of our station ID, and I am pleased to announce for the first time publicly.
What's that show?
Are we ready? Wrestling Tonight, the podcast, will now be heard on VOC Nation every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Had the conversation with Brady Hicks today. He's pleased to have us. Stro, you're a co-host. Chaz Moretti is a co-host, and I am too. And we're going to have a blast every Sunday night, 10 p.m., on VOC Nation. So we're excited to be there, and I'm just excited to be with my paranormal and my wrestling friends, because I'll tell you what, they are the truest friends that I've got, and I appreciate every single one of you. And I tell you what, I didn't know it, but Cindy is a big paranormal buddy of mine now. Cindy, thank you for all these wonderful paranormal experiences. When we start doing some traveling toward the end of the year and this spring, we're going to be inviting you, because we're going to be going up to see Tony. Another place we've got on our schedule is, and Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's just north of London, Kentucky. Is it called Camp Wildcat?
I believe it is. Yes, the battlegrounds.
And it's like big time haunted. And if we get lucky get on up. Yeah, and just right up there's a mountain where there was a Civil War battle. And then if we get lucky, if we can get up there to Perryville, and if they're not so mad at me for canceling events because of COVID, there are several young drummer boys who died in the battle, and their ghosts are out there on the battlefield, and we need to see if we can get them across the line and get them to a better place. So we'll see what we can do. We're going to have some adventures up there. Shane Hollis, who's an alumni of Scary Cast, he'll be with us, and we want every one of you, Papa Stro, we want Tony, we want Robin, Devin, if he can fly in from L.A., and we certainly want Cindy with us if she can make it, because it just couldn't get any better. So now I tell you what, I'd like for us to do one more round of questions about wrestling, because Cindy is on here because she is, well, first of all, she's a great wrestler. She's had a lot of experience in it, and she's a world champion. Not everybody is a world champion.
Fantastic.
Yeah, all right, Cindy. First question is this. You won and lost your championship on the same night, correct? Well, but were you able to get the belt around your waist?
There's pictures of me holding it way in the air.
Okay.
Before they took it back.
That's good enough. Let me ask you this. For our website, could you get me one of those pictures? We'd love to have it.
I certainly will. I certainly will.
Well, great. Thanks a lot. Papa Stro, do you have anything you would like to ask Cindy about wrestling?
I really don't have anything to ask. I just want to say that. Can I finish? Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Cindy, I just want to say thank you for everything you've done. It's such a pleasure to do these podcasts with you, and to know more about you and everything, and to share space with you. I mean, it's your real pleasure, and I just want to say thank you for everything you've done.
Likewise. Thank you.
That's all I got.
Another great remark from Pop Stress.
Well,
that
he
was
knows
wonderful.
Wrestling business.
Right.
He's in it, too.
He sure is. All right, we'll go with Tony, and then Tony, and then
thank
we'll
you,
go
Cindy.
With Robin.
Much love, Cindy.
Any questions?
Thank you.
What got you interested? What got you started in wrestling?
Actually, I was in the music business first, and I was a huge wrestling fan. And I was about to get a record deal, and my bass player never showed up. And I remember going with the other three people in the band, and I was just like touring, doing all this stuff for 2 years. And finally, I just said, you know what? I'm going to become a pro wrestler. And they said, you're nuts. And I did. I went to wrestling school, and I never looked back. That's my story. Sad but true.
So the bass player was responsible for that's everything happened.
His
for
girlfriend.
A reason, right?
It's a Yoko Ono story. The bass player and I wrote the music, and his girlfriend wanted to join the band when she knew we were going to get a record deal, and I was like, no. Why? He's like, well, she pays my rent. I'm like, we're going to get a record deal. You can pay your own rent. So the actual day of the signing, he didn't show up. And then years later, after I come back from WWF, we actually all got together to see if I wanted to see if we still had it. And I was like, why did you do that? And he was just like, well, you know, she pushed me in the heart. I'm like, well, I went on to do it, but it's like, it's just one of those things. It was meant to be, I guess. It was meant in the cards for me to be a wrestler. So, interesting enough, right?
Absolutely.
That's pretty cool. That's great. Thanks for the great question. Robin, do you have a question for Cindy?
Well, yes and no. Like I said, I kind of got to the party late because I couldn't get online, so I apologize. So I did miss part of it. Cindy, how long have you been doing this?
20 years. I was, very active in it.
Your voice doesn't sound old enough to have been doing it 20 years.
Yes. And I'm still doing it now. I'm, just going behind the scenes now, which is pretty exciting.
Now, did you find it hard being a woman in that field?
Again, I was lucky. I've heard horror stories, and I was really lucky to be with a group of guys. It just, they looked after me like brothers. They told me what not to do. They taught me locker room etiquette. They gave me a hard way in a good way, but they never, never disrespected,
Yeah, that's wonderful
because
in a lot of fields it would be hard.
Now, and I'm like, yeah, no, they actually, I would room with these guys, and they were gentlemen. Everyone's like, what? But they were great. I was just very, very lucky. Because a lot of times, as a girl, I would always get the hotel room when we go somewhere, and I would all let everyone come crash in, bring your sleeping bag. Because a lot of times those guys didn't get rooms, so we'd all just crash in my room. I was very, very lucky. Because like I said, I hear some of these horror stories, I'm like, people are like, has that happened to you? I'm like, no. I was just very fortunate to be around a lot of good people.
I was going to say, it's wonderful to hear positive stories about that, because you do. The bad ones tend to come to the surface more than the really good ones do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Yeah. I know, because people came up to me, so what do you think about the Me Too movement? I'm like, I go, I'm sure it happens. And I tell people straight up, I'm sure it does. I said, but I personally have never experienced any of that. I said, nothing but good. And I was lucky, I guess. I knew all the top people at the time coming up, from WWF and ECW, and I'm still friends with most of them. It's like,
well, and to be able to do something that you love is just wonderful, anyway.
Right, and to do what you love and not have to be have all the negativity attached to it.
Right.
But I think a lot of it was from, it's a different time, and a lot of these younger kids are coming up, and people are training that should be training, I think, that have no experience, and I think that's where a lot of that comes from, too.
Yeah. Well, that's fabulous.
I've been lucky.
Yeah.
I'm
glad you're able to come on the show.
Thank you. I'm glad
yes.
you're coming on. It's great.
Yeah, Cindy, I've got a question
too.
For you. If I may, and this is important to me, I believe that you should not go into professional wrestling unless you absolutely love it. and you're willing to put in whatever work it takes to be successful. Do you agree with that, yes or no?
I do. I also agree this. To be very strong-willed, you have to be a very strong person and personality. It's not, even if you love it, it may not be for you because it's a lot of traveling. It's a lot of criticism. It's a lot of hard work. People don't realize that that 5 minutes you'll see in the ring, everything that goes behind it and what you have to sacrifice. So if you don't love it, you're not going to last in it. But if you're not strong enough, it will eat you alive. And I've seen many people get eaten alive by that. Great people. It's just you have to be strong-willed. You have to have a good sense of you. And you also have to have a backup plan. You also have to, you know, it's not going to last forever. It's, you know, you got to figure out where you're going and enjoy it while you have it and, you know, work really hard. But you've got to have a backbone, all right? Am I correct, Maestro?
Yes, absolutely. I'm so with you.
Right. I mean, so you can love it, yeah, but, you know, doesn't they say only the strong will survive? And that's pretty much how wrestling is.
Amen.
I think it's that way in a lot of different endeavors.
Not like wrestling. There's no time off in wrestling. It's like an all-year deal.
No.
You know what I mean?
You'll sacrifice a lot. And if correct me if I'm wrong, most wrestlers that you will meet are very interesting people. We're chameleons. We can do many things. I mean, to be in that ring, you have to be many people and do many things. Most wrestlers are highly intelligent. You know, people won't think that, and they have other interests, and they excel at more than one thing, and from my experience. So sometimes people, it's not the end of the rope. Some people just can't let it go, but most of us will be able to go on and do other things and still keep a hold on to wrestling. So, I mean, like this right now, right? We're talking paranormal, and I love doing ghost hunts, and Maestro loves ghosts and horror like myself. You know, when you're a wrestler, you're an actor, you're an athlete, you're a psychologist, you're a comedian, you're many things. So it's what makes you who you are.
That's it.
I'll never forget what Maestro told me about Ricky Morton. He said
Ricky Morton.
Pardon?
I said we love Ricky Morton.
Yes.
Yeah, and he said Ricky Morton is in the ring, and he is, and someone's got an arm bar on him, and he is there on the mat in terrible pain, and he reaches out to the fans on the front two rows and says, "Help me, help me." And things like that endeared Ricky Morton unbelievably to fans. Right, Papa Stro?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, if you can bear with me for just a few seconds, well, about a minute rather, I got a funny Ricky Morton story I can tell you real quick. He's in Louisiana having a match with Dr. Death Steve Williams, right, in the singles match.
Uh-huh.
And Dr. Death's just beating the crap out of him, right? And the people are, like, getting crazy. They're getting really angry, right? And to the point where almost riot-type angry. And Dr. Death kept telling Ricky, "Please come back on me. Please come back on me," right? And Ricky wouldn't. And Dr. Death just kept on him, right? And it got to the point where Dr. Death was so scared of the people. Right? He was yelling at Ricky, "For God's sake, please come back on me, for these people kill me," right? And finally, Ricky he made that big comeback, and the roof just exploded. I mean, it was amazing psychology.
That's great. And that's like old wrestling. I love that. And I mean, I hope that, you know, I know we will, NAWA, bring that kind of feeling back to wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hope so. I mean, fans want it. It's going to happen. We're going to do it. And exciting.
Much needed.
Much needed. I think wrestling, yeah, it's very, very much needed. And the fans want it too. They're crying for it.
This is wonderful. Papa Stro,
And Cindy Snow, this is exactly what ScaryCast is about, to find out the truth about wrestling, the truth about the paranormal, and it's all inside of us. And without the great, great insight that the two of you brought us tonight about wrestling and why wrestling, why you do it, this is beautiful. This is one of the best ScaryCast interviews we've ever had, because we found out what makes wrestling important to somebody. And Cindy told us what will make you succeed or what will not make you succeed. So I've got to say thank you to both Papa Stroh and Cindy Snow for the great answers that gave us the answers to important questions. And that's what we seek here at ScaryCast. I guess answers to important questions are scary when you get the real answers. But now we know. And thank you. And I'm gonna write a little article about this, because I think it's important and people should understand it. So thank you for the wisdom of two world champions that have explained the importance of wrestling and who can be successful and who can't, and how Ricky Morton can tear it up, right, Papa Stroh?
He can.
Oh, well, yeah, Cindy, it's always a pleasure. Really, thank you.
Yeah, it is. And we're getting next to, it's about time for us to go, because if you're listening on Friday night, you've got to be there at facebook.com/Stroh the Maestro at midnight for the Stroh Zone with Stroh and Dorothy. And we're going to have a blast watching that great movie with Roddy McDowell. And so it's going to be good. So we're going to close up tonight, close up shop. We'll give quick plugs to everybody, and then I will do the call around. The first call around after the show will be to Cindy to thank her again. Then Tony, Papa Stroh, and Robin. So thanks, everybody. What have you got to plug, Papa Stroh? You always have the best plugs. You're the most organized one of us all.
Well, support VOC Nation, also on VOCNation.com, and Pro Wrestling Tees at ProWrestlingTees.com/VOCNation, and buy all the cool VOC Nation T-shirts, merchandise. The proceeds help benefit the network, so help keep our great podcast going on VOCNation.com. Tuesdays, Shelly Martinez podcast at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, In the Room podcast later on that night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Brady Hicks, Kat Fitzpatrick, Derek McDonald, Matt Grimm, and myself. Wednesdays, Wrestling with History with Bruce Wirt and Ken Resnick at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thursdays, Sassy Steph has a new podcast on VOC Nation every Thursday. And then later on that night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, WWE Retro, yours truly, Papa Stroh, at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, of course, VOCNation.com. And as you alluded to earlier, this Friday night, the Stroh Zone on my official Facebook page, facebook.com/Stroh the Maestro, at midnight Eastern Standard Time. The feature will be Friday Night, starring Roddy McDowell. And so, gosh, I need a vacation. But, yep, that's it. Pretty much, that's the plugs of the week.
No, it's Papa Stroh. You can't have a vacation. We just need more Papa Stroh. All right, Tony Pelosi, what have you got to plug?
First off, I'd like for people to go check out my Facebook page, Appalachian X-Files. Give us a like and follow us there. And as always, the Manzo Shepherd story on Amazon. You can buy it on Amazon and check out some of the Crypto Crew, Crypto File films on Amazon Prime.
Thank you very much. Robin, what do you have to plug?
I am going to plug The Rescue. We, John and I, partnered up. We have an animal rescue now. It's based out of South Carolina in Orangeburg, called Furry Foots and Critters. Check out our Facebook page. We've got our PayPal button for donations up. Basically, we help animals that need it. If it's not, you know, they've got to have somewhere to go. They need medical attention. They need food. They need to be cared for. And then we find homes. So I'm going to plug that one this time.
And I'll tell you what, you should see a great mom with all those dogs and cats. She is wonderful to them, and yeah, absolutely. She's a great doggy and kitty mom, so she gets an A+ for that. And our guest, Cindy Snow, what have you got to plug? What have you got going on and would like to share with us?
Well, first, I think it's great that you're helping animals. I'm a huge animal lover. I'm a vegetarian, almost vegan, so I definitely all for the animals.
Thank you.
One thing people should realize, if people that don't believe, how ignorant are you? If there's life here, there's not life on other planets. That's what I have to say.
Oh, I agree. 110%.
And, of course, NAWA, we're going to be doing old school wrestling with my boy Tony Capone, Taz Moretti, and Sal Valenti, Big Sal, and many, many more. So that's my thing, and you'll be seeing a lot more of me as soon as this stupid COVID goes away.
Right.
So
all right.
And, yes,
well,
I do need a vacation.
Thank you so much.
Shut up, Dr. John. What's wrong with you?
Well,
yes,
your vacation
sir.
Could
you
be that we can go on the paranormal thing. We'll see that.
Yeah, let's hang out with Casper and everybody, the gang. It'd be great.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank everybody for another wonderful show on ScaryCast with our guest, Snow, and, of course, with contribution from Papa Stro, a rhyme, and about what's important about wrestling. And I think the advice that the two of you gave was so important. I've got to write that up in a short article. I think it's important. So thank you very much. We'll see everybody next week. I guess I get a plug. Wednesday night, Pop Culture Stars. That will be rebroadcast on VOC Nation Friday at 5 p.m. On Friday at 11 p.m., you can rehear this great ScaryCast show, followed by, of course, the Stro Zone. And then Sunday night, brand new on VOC Nation with Dr. John, Papa Stro, and Chaz Moretti. Wrestling Tonight with contributions with Steve Logan, The Amazing Velvet, and Granny Hulkster. We have great guests from the NAWA and all kinds of fun stuff. So join us. But then we hope to see you next week on the one, the only, the scariest hour. Yes, Papa Stro?
Yes, and don't forget, if you miss the questions that I asked at the beginning of the show, then you can hear them a second time when the callers repeat the same questions I asked earlier on the show. So you'll get the same answer.
I missed the first part, okay?
No, not you. No. It was like last Sunday night. Oh, my God. It was great.
Oh my goodness. It was great to see and hear from everybody.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And we'll be back next week. Devin will be back. He is out there in Kansas hanging out with his family. He said he's going to a class reunion. He said, but really, I'm just going to have to see my parents because nobody's going to the family reunion. I said, that's fine. Yeah, you have a hall pass at least for the first week. We got to have you back next week. So we'll all be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. Thank you to our guest, Cindy Snow, and we'll see you next
week. Thank you.
Bye, everybody. Great to meet you, Cindy.
Bye, everyone.
Good
luck. All right, nice talking
to you.
See you on the ghost hunt. All right, bye.
Yeah, take care. Bye.
On the flip side.
All right, bye.